This week, NPR has been reporting on the findings of a new poll on immigration conducted by NPR, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Tonight, we look at immigrants' expectations of the U.S. versus the reality they confront here. In a moment, we'll take a closer look at the Vietnamese-American experience, but we begin at a recent ceremony on Ellis Island, where the Director of Citizenship and Immigration administered the oath of citizenship.
As I call your country of origin, please stand and remain standing. Let me begin with Albania, Antigua Barbuda.
The new Americans came from dozens of countries for just as many reasons. Several of them recall those first confusing impressions of their adopted nation, beginning with Nikhil Perpakar from India.
The stressful experience I had was standing in line at a McDonald's with like 20 hungry New Yorkers behind me at lunch. That was pretty stressful because the lady in front couldn't understand my accent. And she had sort of bland look, and I kept trying to order something. So in the end, I just took whatever she gave me and walked out. That was my sort of immigrant experience here.
Bridget Odocha came from Nigeria.
Before I came here, I thought that all were whites. But when I came here, I saw black, white. I don't know. They are the best country in the world.
And Marcus Fourville from Haiti is looking forward to the presidential elections.
I never voted before. I'm 37 years old, never voted before. I want to know how it feels to vote.
Those themes of politics, race, and language come up over and over when researchers try to assess immigrant expectations. Ruben Rumbaut of the University of California at Irvine has followed thousands of immigrants from 77 countries for more than a decade.
First impressions, whether on the part of the immigrants or on the part of those who receive them, immediately focus on difference. Let's take the instance of the Nigerian who was surprised to see blacks in the United States. One of the largest groups of immigrants in the U.S. today are those who come from the Dominican Republic. Dominicans don't think they are black until they arrive in New York City and find out that the rest of the New Yorkers think that they are black.
Rumbaut, a Cuban-American himself, says the first 3 years of an immigrant's life in the U.S. are critical. During that time, he's documented what he calls a U-shaped experience, euphoria on arrival, then a slide into depression as the struggle of adjustment sets in, followed by a return to optimism. Rumbaut also says expectations can evolve over successive waves of immigration.
In refugee cases particularly, you have a first wave that tend to be much more highly educated, elite members of the former government, persons that had higher levels of education, contacts with Americans, ability to speak English, etc. And so they have to make their way with their wits and with their wiles and with their efforts. Subsequent waves of immigrants who come tend to be less educated, they tend to be more representative of the society of origin, ironically come into a situation where things have already been organized for them. And so after a while, there's a safety net provided that can tend to reduce the drive of some of the newer immigrants.
In the NPR Kaiser Kennedy School poll, most immigrants said it's been hard to make a good life here. Most rated the economic situation and women's legal rights in the U.S. better than in their native country, but they had mixed feelings about cultural issues. Almost half, for example, felt the strength of the family was better in the place they left. One group that grapples with such issues are the Vietnamese in America, who now number nearly a million. Radio Saigon Houston serves one of the largest Vietnamese populations in the U.S. It's especially popular with newcomers who call in for guidance and support. This young woman, here for a year, complains that her working mother is neglecting the family. Others call in worried they can't earn enough money to send some back home. Radio host Vu Thanh Thuy was among the first boat people to arrive in the U.S. after Saigon fell to the communists in 1975. Those coming today are not political refugees, but economic migrants seeking a better life. Thuy says she's seen the expectations of immigrants from Vietnam shift.
They still have the same expectation of an easier life, more opportunities, to be free and to be wealthy. But I don't think they have the same kind of patience and energy. You know, the first wave of Vietnamese had in the 70s and 80s. In a way, it's harder for them to deal with all the pressure of the society.
Thuy believes her generation had much more support from the American people, and that helped them adapt to this society. She worries that more recent Vietnamese immigrants are intimidated by that success.
I think they don't feel like they belong here. They came here with all the hopes and dreams, but after they came here, financially it can be comfortable, but emotionally it's very, very hard for them to adjust. And so that's why no wonder so many of them return to Vietnam, you know, 3 months and come here for 1 month and then come back there, especially older people always return to live in Vietnam after had been immigrated to America.
Our poll found that even among immigrants who've become U.S. citizens, 20% still say they want to return to their native country one day. Thuy says the most surprising thing for newcomers from Vietnam is the fast pace of life. In her own office, she can spot the recent arrivals as soon as she starts fixing her lunch of instant ramen noodles.
The employees were very surprised. They said, "You are better than us, better off than us. Why do you have to suffer like that, eating like that?" I said, "No, I need time. I don't have time. A lot of time I just eat right at my desk." But the employee always fully used their 1 hour lunch with 3-course meal, and after that they would take a little rest or a little nap on the couch before they go back to work.
Sociologist Ruben Rumbaut says cultural barriers, economic problems, and racial discrimination all can stymie some immigrants' aspirations here. Others, of course, go on to astounding success. Rumbaut notes the many foreign-born Nobel laureates in the U.S. Whatever the outcome, Rumbaut says his research shows an immigrant's expectations are critical.
Perhaps the principal predictor of how well they achieve in education and so on by their mid-20s is what were their expectations in junior high school, more than their parents' social class, more than anything else. The only factor that predicts their expectations to a higher degree than any other turned out to be the parents' own aspirations of their own children.
In a busy immigrant neighborhood of Washington, D.C., Duc Hu Nguyen greets one of his sons as he gets off the school bus. Nguyen, his wife, and 4 of their children came to the U.S. from Vietnam 6 years ago. Since then, they've managed to bring 3 more of their children to join them. In the family's crowded apartment, Nguyen proudly shows off the contents of a wooden hutch. Speaking through a translator, he points out carved stone teacup sets from Vietnam, but mainly the cabinet is packed with rows of framed certificates, the names of Nguyen's children scrawled on them. There's one for chess champion, most improved student, honor roll.
All of my assets, my belongings, anything that I own are all here.
And when he says assets, does he mean his children and their accomplishments?
Yes. I want to display this not to show off, but to teach my children that when they try hard, that they can succeed.
When Nguyen first arrived in the U.S., he got a job cleaning fish, but he says it was difficult. He now works cleaning a hotel. When asked whether America has met his expectations, Nguyen is grateful, but his hopes for the future center on his children, especially his 13-year-old son, Vin. Vin spoke no English when he came 3 years ago, yet he soon excelled at school and this past summer was picked for a government-paid science trip to California. Did you like California?
Yeah, it was nice.
What'd you like about it?
The ways of, like, the street and stuff, and they have a lot of trees similar to my country.
Palm trees?
Yeah.
So California reminded you of Vietnam?
Yeah.
And do you know what you want to be when you grow up?
I change it to be a doctor.
What kind of doctor?
I don't really know yet.
Sociologist Ruben Rumbaut says when he thinks about immigrant expectations, he's reminded of the Langston Hughes poem, Harlem. It was written about American blacks, but Rumbaut says it applies equally to immigrants. The poem asks, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Rumbaut's answer would be no.
You've heard the saying, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. We might say that immigration is the sincerest form of flattery, because immigrants come here because they want to, because they have very high ambitions and are driven to come here. They want to be American citizens. They want to get ahead in this country. They want to fulfill those dreams. And those dreams drive them to a large extent. Many of those dreams may go unfulfilled. Many will go unrealized. But it is because they imagined it in the first place, because of those dreams, deferred or not as they might be, that what they achieve in the end is indeed achieved.
Trinidad and Tobago, the Ukraine, and the United Kingdom.
For more on the NPR Kaiser Kennedy School poll on immigration, including complete poll results, go to our website, npr.org.
Congratulations. You're now citizens of the United States.